I read a book a couple, 3 years ago, and the title of the book is When People Are Big and God Is Small. And it was written by a man named Edward T. Welch. I know I've made mention of this book a few times, but I do have to say this book is a great book. And there are many occasions when it is, I believe, appropriate to make mention of this book. Well, Mr. Welch also wrote another book titled, What Do You Think of Me? Why Do I Care? And we are using this for the Wednesday night Bible study with young adults. The focus on both these books is on how much emphasis we put on other people, how much we care about what they think of us, their opinions of us. How do people see us? His first book, When People Are Big and God Is Small, is about our caring more about how people see us, what they think of us, than what we or how we care about how God sees us or how He thinks of us. If you were asked the question, how do you think or how much do you care about what other people think of you, you may say, I don't really care much at all. But if you read this book, you will see how much we really do care. Well, this morning we're going to see what Jesus has to say about what a poor widow gave as an offering to God and how her two mites should affect our lives. Mark chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant or quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Seeing that we have been away from the Gospel of Mark for a couple weeks, let me refresh your minds on what is taking place. Jesus is now in his third day of teaching in the temple after the triumphal entry, and he is encountering the leadership of Israel. The Sanhedrins are heading this up. They try to trip up Jesus and his teachings. They send the scribes, the Pharisees, they also try to trip him up by asking him questions. But of course, Jesus isn't tripped up at all. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples, but in the way that the whole crowd around them, or not the whole crowd, but a large crowd around them can hear him, including the Pharisees as well, for I'm sure they are still there. The last time we looked at Mark, Jesus taught that they were to watch out for, to beware of, the scribes who love to be recognized. They love the best seats, the greetings in the marketplace, and to make long prayers in order to be recognized by men. Now, when I looked at this section of Scripture, I said, to beware, meaning to learn about something that is needed or something that is hazardous, something that is dangerous. And this would have caught their attention. When Jesus would have said, beware, and in the Greek, it would have had that emphasis of, I want you to pay special attention, for there is something dangerous you must learn about. It was also said that they were to obey what they said, but not to do what they did. And this was because the leaders were hypocrites. They were teachers of the law. They were teaching what the law said, what the Old Testament said, but they weren't doing what the Old Testament said, and therefore they were instructed to hear what they had to say, do what they had to say, but do not follow their example. Matthew 23:3 says this, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say, and they do not do. Now Jesus and his disciples are in the next section of the temple. When Jesus was dealing with the Sanhedrins, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, he was in the outer courts and actually condemned the leaders of Israel for making the temple a den of thieves because they were misusing animals and dealings were astronomically high, the trade value of money changers, and the animal sacrifices were blemished, and they really didn't care as they were dealing with the Gentiles in the outer courts, and that's where they, the Gentiles, the proselytes, would have worshipped God at Passover. Well, now they're in the next section of the temple, and this section is where the women and the children would have worshipped, and this is where they gathered their money for the treasury. Look, if you will, at verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. We as a church, we take our offering on the back table in a model church, and when people, or I've talked to some about our method of receiving offering, they've asked me why we did this, and I actually use this passage to support why we do that. There were no plates passed around. It was between God's people and Him, how they gave. Well, this is what was taking place in the temple. It says that Jesus sat opposite of the treasury, and I don't know how the treasury was set up. Remember, the temple was huge, and there were thousands of people at one time in the temple. So this area would have been a large area. I'm sure there was a section that was just devoted for that area of the treasury. I say this because Jesus sat opposite of the treasury. The treasury was for money. It wasn't for a grain offering. It wasn't for any produce. It was strictly for money. And there were 13 different containers set up in this area. And it was set up for all different types of offerings. Now, the 13 different containers would have been large containers. They would have been box-shaped, but shaped in the form of a horn, of a zephyr, a ram's horn. And it would have been small at the top, but would have widened down at the base. As the people would have gave their money, they would have put it into the top, and it would have made loud noises, as it was most likely made out of brass or some kind of metal. I think it is important to note that Luke uses the word offering in this account. Luke 21:4, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. Why is this important? Because it was the law to tithe. And if it was their tithe, He would have said they put in their tithe. But it wasn't their tithes that they were giving. It was an offering. Some say that the priests would have stood by the treasury, and as the people were coming up to the containers, they would have asked, what is the offering for? And as the people would have made mention what the offering was for, they would have directed them to the right container, for each container was for different offerings. And it would be for this reason Jesus uses this occasion to teach His disciples. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. It really doesn't tell us how Jesus saw this. It doesn't say how He knew people put in a lot of money. I looked. But I think He knew because, like I said, the containers were made out of brass. And the money wasn't made out of paper. They were coins. And when people put in their coins, you would have heard the noise of the coins going and hitting the brass. And as the richer people threw in much more, and they threw it in, it would have made a lot of noise. When those who didn't put in much wouldn't have made much noise. You see, the rich wouldn't have been much different than the Sanhedrins, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they would have thought of looking good in front of people. Remember, thousands of people. And they were walking into a place and they wanted to be seen for their riches. They dressed nice. And it would have brought attention to themselves as they threw in these coins and made loud noises. You know, the truth of the matter is the Sanhedrins, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were also rich. And this would have went right along with what Jesus was trying to teach His disciples on how not to be. But now for the contrast, look at verse 42, if you will. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. In the comparison, we see that there were many who were rich, but Jesus decides to use one who is poor and she is a widow. The last time we looked at Mark, Jesus condemns the leadership for devouring the houses of widows. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. The widow threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. The two mites were Jewish amounts, and the quadrant was the same amount, but it was what the Romans referred to as that amount. Two mites was a 1/64th of a day's wage. Now keep in mind, this is all she had. If she had something to tithe, she tithed, and this was all that remained. Here is the equivalent of today's wage in America. If you make $200 a day, and this is a pretty good amount of money to make in today's economy, but it's extremely rich in comparison to the rest of the world. If you make $200 a day, 1/64th of the $200 a day would be $3.12. $3.12 is all that she had to her name. I have been doing a little grocery shopping lately as Vic was sick. You can't buy a dozen of eggs and a loaf of bread for $3.12. You can buy one or the other and have a little leftover. I had to look at the boss. She said yes. You can buy one or the other, but you aren't going to have much left over. Jesus sees this and he calls over his disciples. Look at verse 43. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." Now, what is obvious is Jesus isn't saying the amount of money that she gave was more than the rich. But what he is saying is, in comparison, the percentage of what she gave was way more than what everyone else gave her. And this is made clear in the next statement. Look, if you will, at verse 44. "For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." It has been said before, and most of you know, that it is the poor people who are the most generous. It is the poor people who give to causes. And the statistics reveal this truth. But I think there is much more to be said in this passage than how much money is given by whom. So many times the rich are hammered for their charitable giving and accused of doing so for a tax break. And this is true at times and with some. But this isn't true with everyone. What this poor widow did, a rich widow or a rich person could have done as well. I have heard of many rich people who have given a large majority of their money to missions and to other works that are God-oriented. The real issue here is, where is your heart for God? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, with most people, you can tell what is most important by where the majority of their money goes. Is your heart for God? Then you will invest in God's work with the money He entrusted you with. But the truth of the matter is, money is only a byproduct. Money is the means which reveals the truth of our hearts. God doesn't want your money. God wants you. What God wants is our complete trust and devotion to Him. He wants us to be completely dependent upon Him. You remember the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 17 through 22. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and he said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at his words, or at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Does God require anyone to sell all that they have in order for them to be saved? Of course, the answer is no. But what God does require is for our loyalty and trust to be in him rather than ourselves, which usually involves money. The most evident way that we show a lack of trust in God and dependence in ourselves is to do those things that require money. And when we have an abundance of money, we don't need to refer to God. Jesus said, sell all you have, take up your cross and follow me. But he didn't because he had great riches. Jesus was very clear from the beginning of his ministry what his purpose was. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1, 17. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mark 1, 38. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose, I have come forth. Jesus came preaching repentance, but he also preached dependence and commitment. Turn, if you will, to the gospel, or you are in the gospel of Mark chapter 8. This is the part of the gospel that most people like to ignore. Maybe they just don't know this part of the gospel. But this is the gospel. Starting with verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You see, Jesus preached dedication, commitment, loyalty. And it's something that most Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, do not have. The widow gave her livelihood. Livelihood means resources needed to maintain life. In other words, she gave all that she had to put her complete trust in the Lord. I came across this in my studies. For Jesus, the value of a gift is not the amount given, but the cost to the giver. Let me say that again. For Jesus, the value of a gift is not the amount given, but the cost to the giver. And this, in the temples, others gave what they could spare, but the poor widow spared nothing. Others gave from their surplus, but she gave from her need all she had to live on. Jesus is drawing his disciples and us a picture of what not to look like and what to look like. Don't be a hypocrite like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying and doing nothing. Be like the widow who quietly devotes her entire life to the Lord. Her complete dependence is upon him, and that is exactly what the disciples needed to learn, and it is also what we need to learn as well. When people are big and God is small, how much value do we really place on the opinions of others? Are we like the rich who try to impress others with the amount we give, Or are we like the poor widow who didn't impress anyone at the treasury, but surely pleased and glorified God with her two mites? She pleased and glorified God because she chose to give everything she had. I will conclude with this, the Pillar's New Testament commentaries in regards to this section. The sacrifice of all she had is the keystone in Mark's arc of faith. The initial call of Jesus to the fishermen beside the sea to leave all and come follow me is perfectly fulfilled in the giving of two simple lepta, which symbolize an undivided heart. This widow's selfless act is not showcased primarily for its moral value, exposing the gulf between her humble piety and the pretense of the scribes or to unmask tests and traps of the Sanhedrin's, although it does that. Rather, as verse 43 reveals, the chief purpose of the widow is as a model of discipleship. No gift, whether of money, time, or talent, is too insignificant to give if it is given to God. I titled the last time we were together in the book of Mark, Beware of the Scribes' Hypocrisy. They were showy. They wanted to be seen by men. They wanted to have that aura, that greatness, that reputation. This week I titled the message, Be Aware of the Widow's Mite. Beware of the scribes' hypocrisy, but be aware of the widow's two mites, because she gave everything, and we need to do the same. Let's pray.